Over this month, we are going to look at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this morning, we are continuing in the book of Luke, chapter number 2. So if you can please turn there to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. And last Sunday, we began a little study into the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 2. And we're going to continue from verse number 8 this morning. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And please follow with me all the way down to verse number 20 as we look at these verses together. Luke chapter number 2, beginning in verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God. Father, thank you for divinely recording the truth of the events of the birth of our Saviour. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word is not just a book of history, but Lord, it is a divinely inspired truth. And Lord, your word is powerful. Lord, your word is supernatural. Lord, you have created your word to speak to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that you would speak to each heart here this morning. Father, I pray that you would speak to us according to the need of our soul, the need of our Christian lives. Father, we pray that you would help us now as we look into the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, teach us some lessons that we may learn, that we may leave this place like the shepherds of old, glorifying you at the great things that we have heard from your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, I trust you've been enjoying these wonderful hymns that we've been singing this Sunday, last Sunday, about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them might be familiar to you. You may hear some around the place and you may have sung them while you were growing up. Now, as we come to Luke chapter number 2, some have called this passage, these series of passages, as the first Christmas carol. Now, we don't know exactly for sure whether the angels, as they appeared to these shepherds, were actually singing. The Bible says that they said these words. It doesn't say that they sang these words. But you can imagine the wonderful praise that came forth from the heavenly host. There could have been up to 10,000 angels surrounding the shepherds. And no wonder some say that this might be the first Christmas carol. Well, I don't know about that, but I do know that these verses are worthy of our attention. There are some wonderful truths. You see, God doesn't record every detail about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in his word. There are some details he wants us to know. There are some details that are not needful to know. But thankfully, this morning, everything in here that we are going to look at is important. It is crucial. it is necessary for you and I to know. And as we look into the birth of Jesus, part number two this morning, I'd like to look at three things. First of all, we'll see the watching shepherds. Secondly, we'll see the witnessing angels. And then thirdly, we'll see their willing response. You see, there was a response to what the angels witnessed to. The shepherds didn't just sit there and go, "Oh, that was interesting. Let's go home and do nothing about it." No, there was a willing response. And I trust that your heart is open this morning to make some sort of a response and decision about what God's word says in Luke chapter 2. Well, first of all, notice verse number 8 as we begin. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Notice, first of all, the watching shepherds. The Bible tells us, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Now, these shepherds were in the same country, in the same area that Mary had given birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember last Sunday we learnt that Christ's birth was not a made-up myth or religion. Christ's birth was a historical birth, a real birth that took place in real history and time. Then we remembered that his birth was a unique birth, a holy birth. Christ was born of a virgin. God came to this earth and was born in human flesh that he might die on the cross for our sins. And then we learnt that his birth was a humble birth. Now, while all this was taking place, don't miss it, God chose to announce for the very first time to a group of people that the Messiah had come. Now, up to this point, not many people knew that Christ had been born, or he was about to be born. There was Mary, of course. There was Joseph. There was Elizabeth. There was Zechariah. And of course, they knew what was going to happen. They knew what was going to take place, but not a large group of people. Now, this is the first time a group of people received the announcement about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's a question. And you might be thinking over in your mind right now, why is it that God appeared to shepherds? That's right, shepherds. Now, if you think with me for a moment, who were the most religious people in Israel in practice? Well, they were the priests, is that right? They were the Levites. They were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, those religious sects. And where did they spend their time? Were they in the fields with the sheep? No. They were in the capital city, Jerusalem. And where did they worship? They worshipped at the temple. That's right. So why would God make his first royal announcement to the nation that the Messiah was born, and he appeared first to shepherds? Well, what do we know about shepherds? Well, shepherds are simple folk. They are hardworking people. But in the class of people in biblical days, they were not wealthy. They were not rich. They were not honored for being shepherds. In fact, because they dealt with dirty animals, they were oftentimes looked down upon as the lowest class of people. Now, according to the Jewish religion, not according to the Bible, but according to Jewish religion, they were looked upon as unclean. They were often rejected from coming to the temple because they handled animals. And so they were not looked favorably upon. But what I want us to notice this morning is that the Lord sees things differently, doesn't he? You see, God doesn't prefer one person over another. The Jewish leaders thought that they were better because they were priests. They were in the temple. They were trying to keep the Ten Commandments. They thought that they were perfect. But these humble shepherds were simply working in the field, watching over their flocks by night. And it is to these ones that God first appeared. It is to these ones that God announced that the Messiah has come. And what a wonderful lesson we learn straight away about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see God's love for everyone. God doesn't just love those who are religious or seem to be religious. No, the Lord came for everyone. And he came especially for those who would admit in their humility that they need the Savior. You see, those in the temple, many of them were self-righteous. They were just, all they cared about is what people thought of them. All they cared about was doing religious works. And the Lord knew that if he was going to announce his message of the coming of the Messiah, it is humble hearts that are being sought after. You see, these shepherds knew that they weren't anything special. They knew that God was the one they needed. And God came down. And the angel said unto them in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, notice there with me, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." What are the next words? "Which shall be to all people." That's right, to the shepherds, to the workers, to the people in Jerusalem, to the priests. This is good news for all people. And that's why the Lord appeared first to the shepherds. He appeared to simple people. He appeared to the everyday person. Why? To show us in his word that God so loved the world. That's everyone and anyone, regardless of their class, regardless of their culture, regardless of their creed. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, these shepherds were humble shepherds. The Lord Jesus said, notice Luke chapter 5 and verse 32. Let's turn to Luke chapter 5, verse 32 for a moment. A few chapters forward. Luke chapter 5, verse 32. Notice what the Lord Jesus said in verse 32. Jesus said to those around him, "I came not to call the righteous, but whom?
Sinners.
But sinners to repentance." You see, the Lord came for all. And he did not come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. And I'm glad this morning that God didn't limit his gift of eternal life to just a specific group of people. No, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. He is the Savior of the poor. He's the Savior of the hungry. He's the Savior of the needy. He is the Savior of the world. And that's why he first appeared to humble shepherds. You see, the shepherds didn't think they were anyone special. They were just working hard in the fields by night, looking after their flock. They were just going about a daily hard day's work. They didn't think that they were anything special before God. And these were the ones that the angel of the Lord appeared to first to give the message of the birth of the Messiah. Now, the question that I'd like to ask this morning, are you humble enough to admit, like these shepherds, that you need the Lord Jesus Christ? Later we'll see that they knew who to go to. When they heard the message about Christ, they didn't delay. And we see their humility coming out. They didn't doubt. They didn't criticize. They didn't resist. They were humble in their hearts. Why? Because they knew they were sinners in need of a Savior. They knew that the Messiah had come, the Savior of the world. But the question is, what is in your heart this morning? Are you humble enough to admit your need for a Savior from sin? You see, one time the Lord Jesus was teaching the adults, and his disciples saw some parents bringing their children. And as these parents brought their children to the Lord, the disciples said to them, "Look, Jesus is tired. He's busy enough. He doesn't have time to pay attention to children. Keep your children back. He doesn't want to see them." And what did Jesus do? He rebuked them. He said, "No, bring the children to me." And then the Lord taught all those around him a very important lesson. He said to them, "Except a person humbles themselves as a little child, they cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." Why? Because the children have a believing heart. When we grow up as adults, what happens? We become cynical. We become proud. We become skeptical. But children have a simple heart and a simple understanding. They are not gullible. They have a childlike humility. They know that they are weak. They know that they need help. As adults, Sometimes we live our life saying, well, I don't need anyone to help me. I am fine. Until we end up in the doctor's office and then we get a reality shock. But children are humble. They are pure in heart. And the Lord chose them as an example, just like I believe this morning the shepherds, that we need to be humble in order to come to Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, no man or woman or child can come unto the Lord except we believe that we are sinners in need of a Savior. That is why He came. No one can ever receive the gift of eternal life except we humble ourselves first as a little child and say, yes, Lord, I need You. You are the one that I need. I trust that is your heart this morning. I trust you have humbled yourself before the cross of Jesus Christ and thanked the Lord for providing salvation and called upon Him to save you once and for all. Well, they were humble shepherds. Look again in Luke chapter 2. Notice they were frightened shepherds. Isn't that what the Bible says? Verse 9 says, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were, what are the next two words? Sore afraid. Those words mean mega afraid. That means very afraid. That means shockingly afraid. Now imagine at night time, it's dark, they could see the stars, they could see perhaps the lights of the township round about them, but it was night time. They were watching over their sheep by night. And then suddenly, the Bible tells us that the angel of the Lord came upon them. Not only that, but the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Suddenly, nighttime became day. And it wasn't the daylight of the sun, it was the light of the glory of God. Amen. Now, can you imagine how afraid these shepherds were? What is going on? Maybe some of them were awoken from sleep. Maybe some were on nighttime duty and had to wake the others in shifts to look after their sheep. Who knows? But they were sore afraid. They were afraid. They were afraid at the sight. They were afraid at the glory of God. And that is what they were feeling in their hearts. Certainly they'd never seen anything like this before. And it's interesting to note, every time something major happened in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it was attended to by angels. When the announcement of Christ's birth came to Mary, to Mary, the angel appeared, and here at his birth, at his resurrection. And when Christ returns, he will return with his saints, and the angels will be present as well. The Bible tells us that as the angel of the Lord came upon them, they were sore afraid. But let me say this, they weren't afraid for very long. Because the angel of the Lord said to them, fear not, fear not. You see, there was great hope in the message that they were given, that the Messiah had come. And after the angel of the Lord and the host left them, they went to seek the Lord. But can I step back into reality of 2016 at the moment? Friends, we are looking into the past. Is that right? Christ has already come. He was born. He went to the cross and paid for our sins. He died, was buried, and He rose again from the dead. And friends, the Bible tells us that He is coming again. Do you realize there is more in the Bible about the second coming of Jesus Christ than the first? There's only a small amount of the first coming of Christ. Why? Because He is coming again. Now, for today, when it comes to the birth of Christ, we need to understand that Christ is coming again. He is not going to be born upon this earth. He is coming the second time. Now, the first time He came, the shepherds were sore afraid. But then they received the message of hope and they weren't afraid anymore. They believed it. They went to seek out Christ. But when Christ comes again, we need to remember at that point, the time of salvation will be over. There'll be no more opportunity to turn that fear into faith. Christ came the first time as the Savior. The second time He comes, He is coming as the Judge. The time of salvation, you see, is right now. The time to repent of your sin and put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior is right now. You see, this is the time of salvation. That is why this message this morning is so important. The shepherd's fear was turned into faith because Christ had come. They didn't delay, and they believed in the Lord. And they rejoiced in the wonder of the Messiah. But you see, when Christ comes again, it'll be too late. Friends, we don't have the rest of our life to make up our mind what we should believe in. We need to decide very, very quickly. You see, the Bible tells us that when Christ comes again, there will be great fear. And that fear will not be turned into hope. That fear will not be turned into joy. That fear will not be turned into rejoicing for those who do not believe in the Lord. In the book of the Revelation, right at the end of your Bible, the Bible says when Christ comes the second time, listen carefully, all the earth shall wail because of Him. Why? It will be a shriek of horror. Why? Because it's too late. Those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ and say, no, I don't need Jesus as my Savior. No, I don't need the forgiveness of sins. No, I choose not to believe in what the Bible says and receive Christ as my personal Savior. One day they will see Him coming in the clouds to the earth and they will wail in painful horror that salvation is gone. It's gone. He's come. The time of forgiveness is over, and they will see Him in all His glory, and that fear will not be changed into hope. Friends, let me encourage you this morning. That time has not come yet. Christ has not come the second time. We live in the light of His first coming and in the light of His second coming, but Christ is coming again, and now is the time of salvation. The Bible says, don't harden your hearts. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Friend, if you've been thinking about Jesus Christ and what you should believe and whether you should receive Him as your personal Savior for the forgiveness of sins once and for all, don't delay. I know we like to look at His birth, but friends, that's the past. He is coming again. These shepherds were sore afraid. But that fear turned into joy when they heard the message that the angels brought. Let me encourage you this morning for the next few moments to listen to what the angel of the Lord said. You see, what the angel of the Lord said to these shepherds turned their fear into joy. And friend, if you die today, and if you're afraid of where you might go, if you're not 100% sure that your eternal destiny is sealed with God and the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, if you're afraid of the second coming of Christ, let me encourage you. God can turn that fear into joy this morning if you'll simply believe what the angel of the Lord said. All right, are you still with me this morning?
Yes.
Okay, don't get distracted. Let's look at Luke chapter 2. We've seen the watching shepherds. Notice, secondly, the witnessing angels. The witnessing angel of the Lord. The Bible tells us in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. And the angel said unto them, what are the next words?
Fear not.
Fear not. You see, God's message is a message of hope, not of fear. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, four times the angel of the Lord appeared. And four times the angel of the Lord said, fear not. The angel said, fear not. And it was the shepherds that were sore afraid. But the angel said, don't be afraid. Why? Because the message that he brought was a message of hope. Not of mega fear, but of mega joy. Of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now, why is that? Well, let's look at three things that the witnessing angel said here in verse 11. This is the message of hope. Friends, this is the joy of the Lord. Notice verse number 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What is this message of great joy? Notice, not to you and I only, but to all people. Well, the Bible says, unto you is born this day in the city of David. What's the next words?
A Savior.
A Savior. A Savior. Friends, He is the Savior. That is who Jesus Christ is. What is a Savior? It is one who saves. Now, what does Jesus Christ save from? Well, that's a good question. Look with me in the book of Matthew. One book back, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. Now, as the angel of the Lord later appeared, as the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, notice what was said in verse number 21. Why don't we read Matthew 1 verse 21 together, shall we, out loud? On two. One, two. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their, say it,
sins.
That's why Jesus came. Friends, he is the Savior, but more specifically, he came to save people from their sins. Friends, that is why he came. Now, many people today would agree that Jesus Christ was a great teacher. Many people would agree that he said many good things like love your neighbor and love your enemy. And yes, he certainly did. But Jesus Christ himself said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost. His teaching supported his mission. Christ did not come for the purpose of teaching the world to love their neighbor. No, he came to die on the cross to pay for our sins so that we as sinful beings could be saved from the penalty and the punishment that we deserve for our sins. See, he is the Savior. That's the good news. That is the wonderful news that shall be to all people. You see, the shepherds were afraid. Maybe this morning you're a little bit afraid. Maybe you haven't made your mind up about who Christ is and you don't know what is the truth. Friends, this is the truth. A Savior has come. He is the one, God, who came down in the flesh to die on the cross for our sins. The Bible says in one of our memory verses, and thou shalt call him Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He came to the earth, my friend, the Son of God. He was manifest in the flesh, and he is the Savior of sin for the whole world. Friends, Christ was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless, spotless life. When he was at court under Pontius Pilate, the Jews were accusing him. They wanted to kill him. They were ravenous to see him dead. Pontius Pilate said, I find no fault in him. In other words, this man has done nothing wrong. Not even worthy of death. I can't even find one thing wrong that he's done. Nothing at all. But the Jews hated him because they did not believe that he was the promised Messiah. Now that was their choice. But these shepherds believed. Not all Jews rejected the Messiah. And friends, you don't need to reject the Savior this morning. Friends, we live in a world that has rejected Jesus Christ, but you need to make up your own choice, your own mind. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior from sin? Is he your Savior this morning? Has there been a time in your life that you humbled yourself like these shepherds, realized that you were a sinner, that you deserved the full wrath and judgment of God? And that judgment is coming. And has there been a time that you turned from your sin in repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? And you called out to the Lord and called upon him, his name, and you asked him to be your personal Savior once and for all. Has there been a time that you made him your Savior? Friends, this is the good news. He died for all. Why? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all sinners. God died for all. The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the good news. A Savior has come and he is able to save today. Notice next in Luke chapter 2. Are you still with me? Luke chapter 2. Thank you for your attention this morning. Notice the next good news. You see, the angel said, fear not. He said, don't be afraid. He said, listen to this wonderful news. There is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is, what's the next word? Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some people today believe that Christ is Jesus' surname, his family name, Jesus Christ. Just like you have a last name, well, Christ must be his last name. Well, that is not actually true. The name Christ is a title that is given to the Lord Jesus. Christ means the anointed one. Christ means the Messiah. He is the chosen one that God has chosen from the foundation of the world to come to this earth to pay for the penalty for the sins of mankind once and for all. He is the Christ. Christ is not his last name. Christ is not a swear word. Christ means the anointed one, the exalted one, the chosen one. That is whom Christ is. He is the one who was able to close the gap between God and man. The Bible says that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He is the one who can make peace between man and God, for he paid for our sins. He is the Christ, the chosen Messiah. Look next in your Bibles. Not only is he the Christ, but he's also the Lord. He is also Lord. Now, the title here means supreme authority. The title here means that he is God. In the New Testament alone, 115 times Jesus Christ is called Lord. Now, when people came up to him and they called him Lord, did the Lord Jesus say, "Don't call me that"? Now, the angels did. When they appeared before the disciples at different times, and as John, for example, in the book of the Revelation, bowed down to an angel, the angel said, "Hey, don't worship me. I am not God." But Jesus, when he was called Lord by others, he accepted that. He received that. Why? Because he is the Lord. Though the religious Jews hated that, the Lord accepted it and received it because that is who he is. He is the Lord as God. He is Jesus, the Savior. He is Christ, the chosen one. And that is the good news that we get to enjoy this morning as we consider the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God has come, the Son of God, to die on the cross to pay for your sins and mine. Friend, who do you believe he is? Is he just a little baby on the front of a Christmas card that looks cute at this time of year? Or do you believe that he is very God in the flesh who paid for your sins and mine? Is that what you believe? Well, whether or not you believe that, this is what God has said. This is what the angel of the Lord declared. And that is why we should have no fear if we believe in whom he says he is. Now, don't miss what the Bible says next in verse number 12. The angel said to the shepherds, "And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, the angel of the Lord didn't want these shepherds to mistake another baby for the Lord Jesus. Would that be correct? He said, "I'm going to have to give you a sign. Let me give you a little bit of detail so you don't mistake one baby for another." Now, if you were to go to Cairns Hospital at any time of the day, I would guarantee you there would be at least one or more mothers going through the blessed experience of childbirth. I remember when we went in for Jeremy's birth, we didn't need to guess whether there were any mothers giving birth in maternity, because there always is. Isn't that right? There always is. In fact, as Christians, we prayed and we said, "Lord, please let there be a room that we can go to when we get there." And as you know, that's just the reality of life. If you look on Google, I'm sure it will give you a number count of babies that were born roughly and how many that are born. And in Bethlehem, same thing. People were traveling from all over the place, remember, and there were other babies that were born. And the angel of the Lord said, "This shall be a sign unto you." I don't want you to mistake the Savior for someone else. I don't want you to get it wrong. Now, friends, it's the same today. There are many religious people today that claim to be the Savior or a Savior. There are many religious so-called prophets or teachers or leaders of the past that claim to be God's chosen one. But you see, there is only one God. And there is only one Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only one. And the angel of the Lord didn't want them to miss it. You see, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said it himself. He said, I am the only way. Why? Because there is only one God. Why? Because there is only one Savior. Why? Because there was only one sacrifice for sins. And when Christ shed his holy sinless blood on the cross to pay for your sins and mine, friend, our sin debt was paid in full. The sin debt of the entire human race was paid in full. From the beginning of time to the end, in his holy sinless blood, Christ died for you. Christ died for me. And he is the only Savior, the only chosen one. That's why he deserves the glory this morning. Look, I'm not going to lie to you. There are many religions in the world, and many of them teach good things. I'm not saying this morning that every religion teaches evil. That's not true. You can find many religions today that teach good things like be kind to someone or go out of your way to help someone or do good things. And that's fine and that's good. But listen carefully. Doing good things cannot take away our sins. Religion cannot take away your sins. Doing good works cannot erase what we have done against God. Is that clear this morning? One of my goals here as the pastor of Coastline Baptist Church is to make sure that no one ever walks through these doors and leaves thinking that they can be a good person enough to get to heaven. The Bible says you are saved by the grace of God alone, not of works, lest any man should boast. Friends, there's no way we can get to heaven. Why? Because if we look at ourselves through God's eyes, we are condemned sinners. In fact, God says we are so sinful, we are dead, spiritually dead in our sins and trespasses. He is perfect and we are separated from God by our sins. And the only way that we can be redeemed, brought back to God, is that our sins must be paid for. There must be a punishment. Either you and I are punished in the lake of fire forever, the due justice for our sins, or someone it pays the punishment for us. Now, I can't pay for you because I'm a sinner. You can't pay for me. But there is one that can make the perfect payment. And that is the perfect God, the perfect man, God, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
100% man, born of a virgin, 100% God. And he paid it all, my friends.
Amen.
Don't miss the only Savior this month. Friends, I know we live in a politically correct world. But sometimes it's incorrect to be politically correct. Sometimes it's wrong to be socially acceptable. Sometimes we say things because it's socially unacceptable to say that Jesus is the only way. But friends, thank God there is only one way.
Amen.
Imagine if there were a multitude of ways, which way would you know where to go? But God told these shepherds, he said, hey, this is the way. Go find a babe lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, this is the good news. That's for all people. You don't need to look anymore. If you've come to church this morning seeking the truth, you don't need to look anymore. Christ is seeking to save you. You need to choose what you believe. Do you believe that he is God? Do you believe that he is the Savior? Do you believe that he is the only one? Well, this is what the shepherds believed. And the angel of the Lord said unto them, these are the good tidings of great joy which shall be to all people. To all people, my friends. You see, Jesus Christ was not born in America. You can say amen. Amen? He was not born in America. He was born in the East. Christianity is not an Australian religion. In fact, it's not a Western religion. Have you noticed that? He was born in the East. Amen? The gospel spread around the world. He's the Savior of the African. He's the Savior of the Asian. He's the Savior of the European. He's the Savior of the American. He is Savior of the Arab. He is Savior of the Australian. He is the Savior of all nations. This is the great joy which shall be to all people, to all those who accept Him as Savior. Friend, you can have joy in your heart this morning. Your fear of death and hell can be turned into everlasting joy if you would simply receive Christ as your personal Savior today. That's the joy. That's the joyful message that the angel gave to these shepherds. Friend, what is God doing in your heart this morning? Well, can I quickly end with what the shepherds did at the end of these verses? After hearing all this, after taking in this amazing sight, what did the shepherds choose to do? All right, let's end this message this morning. We've seen the watching shepherds. We've seen the witnessing angels. Now we're going to see their willing response. Notice verse number 15 in Luke chapter 2. We're almost there. Luke chapter 2 and verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and let us see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Notice what the Bible says. They believed what they heard was from whom? The Lord. What the Lord hath made known unto us. They believed the word of God. Friends, the Bible is the word of God. It is the word of God. It is the infallible, divine word of God. Either you believe it or you reject it. Friends, where is your heart this morning? Do you believe what you've heard from the word of God? Well, these shepherds did. And they said, "Hey, we believe what we've just heard, right?" "Yes." "Well, what are we going to do about it?" And they said to one another in verse 15, "Let us now go." Do you notice with me that they didn't say, "Well, let's wait a week and see what happens. You know what, I've heard about saviors before and okay, that was a nice little message. Let's wait a week. Let's wait a couple of weeks. Look, we're busy. I mean, who's going to look after the sheep? Who's going to tend this flock at night time? What are we going to do? There are too many things in our lives right now, to be honest, that, look, I don't have time to find out who this Messiah is." Friend, that's not what the shepherds did they? They said, "Let us go now." I dare say they trusted God to take care of their sheep. Amen. I dare say they said, "Hey, there's something much more important than my work. There's something much more important than anything that's going on right now. I need to find the Messiah." And they agreed on that as a group. Notice what happened next. Verse 16 tells us, and they came with, say it, haste. Not only did they decide quickly, but they went quickly. They moved quickly. They came with haste. They didn't delay. They went straight away and they believed the message and they did not delay to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I be honest with you this morning? Friend, there is no guarantee that you and I will be here next Christmas. There is no guarantee that you and I will be alive on this earth this year, next year, this time next year. Friends, this may be your last opportunity. This morning may be your last opportunity. Now, I'm not assuming, I'm just saying that's the reality of life. As Brother Eric Rees, one of our guest speakers from the past, said, stuff happens. Stuff happens. He was in a head-on collision. His best friend next to him was killed instantly. He was thrown out of the car and he survived. But you see, both of them were Christians. They were already saved. Their eternity's already settled in heaven. But what about you? What about you, my friend? Have you come with haste to the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you sitting back and thinking? Now, it's good to listen. It's good to hear. But friends, there comes a point where God comes knocking on your heart and He's telling you, you need to make a decision. You need to choose what to believe before it's too late. And these shepherds made up their mind. God was working in their hearts. They heard the word of God and they came with haste. Friend, what about you this morning? What about you? What is holding you back from embracing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior from sin and experiencing the gift of eternal life once and for all? What's holding you back? The Bible says that we need to believe by faith and accept Him as our Savior. These shepherds came quickly, didn't they? They came very quickly. May I encourage you, don't delay. If you need to accept Christ as Savior, you may want to know a little bit more. You may like to sit with someone who can show you from the Bible how you can receive Him as Savior. That's fine. Let me encourage you to put up your hand this morning during the invitation. At least take that step to be honest with God. We won't embarrass you. We won't call you out the front. We'd just like to talk with you after the service. But make it known. You see, these shepherds weren't ashamed, were they? They said, let's go. Who cares what other people think? Let's go and find the Savior. And if God is seeking you this morning, let's go. Amen. Let's go to the Savior. Let's receive His gift of eternal life. On May the 7th, 2015, that was the night that I received Christ as my Savior. And I can tell you what, nothing or no one would hold me back. I believed that I was a sinner. I knew He had paid for my sins. I was fearful of going to hell, yes, but I was rejoicing that a Savior has come. And a wonderful joy entered into my heart the moment I realized that though I was one breath away from eternal judgment, I was one breath away from eternal life if I would simply repent and trust in Him. Friends, that's the good news. And the shepherds made haste. The shepherds made haste. Notice what happens next in these last few verses. The Bible says, and when they had seen it in verse 17, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. You see, after they found Christ, what did they do? They went to tell others. Now, Christian, isn't this the evidence of someone whose life has been changed by Jesus Christ? They went to tell others. They didn't go and say, oh, not interested. Now, this was a baby. He could not speak. What were they believing? They were believing the message from God. And so they came, they saw the truth, and they realized that this was the Messiah, and they went out excitedly to tell others. Now, friend, if you have trusted in Christ as your personal Savior, what is the evidence?
You want to tell others.
You want to tell those around you. Not just tell them, but you're excited because of what Christ has done for you. Look, if there's no excitement to tell someone else, I dare say that you've not experienced salvation for yourself. Look, if you went to a doctor and he cured you miraculously of a disease that everyone has, what would you do? You'd go out excitedly to tell them, is that right? You'd go out with a passion to tell your loved ones, to tell other fellow shepherds, if you will, that the Messiah has come. If you're a Christian here this morning, and you've never told a soul about how Jesus saved you. Look, you may not know all the verses in the Bible, but if you've never told a soul about how He saved you and how they need to be saved, something's desperately wrong. The shepherds worked it out. Amen? There ought to be a burning desire. Look, none of us are the witnesses we ought to be. But if there is a burning flame inside you, that will not go out. That'll be there for the rest of your life with a desire and a want to and a prayer for souls to be saved. And Christian, that is what we need to be doing this month. That is what we are called to do every month of the year. To bring good news, amen, of glad tidings that the Messiah has come. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And we are to take that good news with joy into this world that needs to hear about the Savior. You know, there are many just like the shepherds sitting in darkness this morning that need to see the light. And do you know what the Lord Jesus said? He said, I am the light of the world. But if you've received me, I live in you. Now you are the light of the world too. You need to go into all the world and be that light and tell others that I have come and that I'm coming again. Be saved before it's too late. That is our message, that Christ has come. Christian, are you telling others? Or is the issue this morning your own personal salvation? Do you need to be genuinely saved once and for all? so that you can tell others. Friend, these shepherds told others. Notice verse number 20. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Friends, they were rejoicing. They were praising. They were excited. Christian, are you excited?
Amen.
Do you have anything to praise God for?
Yes.
If He has saved your soul, if you've believed in Him, if you have the gift of eternal life, our life ought to be filled with praise. Our life ought to be filled with gratitude and thankfulness towards God. Our life ought to be filled with excitement and passion to tell others. These shepherds were excited, amen? You wouldn't find these shepherds wandering around the city of Cairns this month with their hands in their pockets, minding their own business, hoping that no one asked them whether they were a Christian, amen? No, these shepherds were excited. They were praising God. People heard the praise from their lips. And that's the kind of people that God expects us to be as Christians. We ought to be rejoicing. We ought to be praising God. We ought to be excited about being a witness. Listen, some of you haven't handed out one invitation this month. Don't say amen. Some of you haven't handed out one invitation to anyone. Please grab a pile before you go, amen, and get right with God and be a witness for the Lord. Friends, this is why He left us here, to be a witness, to tell others. Look, if you're not saved, He doesn't expect you to do anything except come to Him for salvation. But if you are a Christian, it's time to get busy, amen, this month, the next month, the month after. It's time to get busy and tell others about the Saviour. The last verse I'd like to end on is one that we missed and passed up. Notice Luke chapter 2, a little something about Mary in verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. For those of us who are Christians this morning, you know, this time of year is a busy time of year. How many of you have gone to the shops recently and perhaps made a decision not to go back again this month? Or is it just me? I remember buying something recently because I had a free gift voucher. It had to be used before the date ended. And so I bought a little gift and used that voucher. And there was a lady next to me with a huge stack of presents. And the lady behind the cashier said, "Wow, that's a lot of gifts." And this lady said, "Oh, this time of year is a nightmare. I mean, I'm just totally flat out trying to find gifts for every nanny, uncle, auntie, child, cousin, relative, in-law, outlaw, anyone that I know." Almost had a nervous breakdown, poor lady. And you know, this is a crazy time of year if we're not careful. We have to make sure we, like Mary of old, ponder the things that are most important in our hearts. You see, she stopped. She said, "Hey, this is amazing what God is doing. I need to stop, and you need to stop this month and ponder what the birth of Christ is all about." Friends, it's not about gifts. It's not about a tree. It's not about holidays. It is about the gift of eternal life, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. Our Christmas, if you celebrate, ought to be about Jesus. It ought to be about Him. Our Christian life ought to be about Him. This month shouldn't be any different. We ought to launch in from this month into the next month with the same excitement for Christ. Amen. But we need to stop if we're not careful, or we'll miss the opportunities around us. If we do not ponder the things of God, as we have looked at this morning, in our hearts. Friends, the gift of Christ is not just once a year. He is the Saviour. All people, for all time, and He is able to grant eternal life. Friend, are you here this morning? And your fear needs to be turned into joy. God can do that. God can do that. Would you come to Him this morning? Would you simply raise up your hand in a few moments and say, "Pastor, look, I know one thing for sure. I don't know maybe what entirely it means to be saved, but I know one thing for sure, I am not saved. I do not know Christ personally as my Savior. I'd like to know more. I'd like to know Him as my personal Savior. I'm a sinner, and I'm afraid of where I'll go if I die. The Bible says that will be a fear in your life if you do not know Jesus as your Savior. The fear of death, the fear of judgment to come. The angel of the Lord said, "Fear not." The good news has come too. Christ can save.